Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about a series of news items today, some of which are cultural, some of which deal with foreign policy, and also talking about some guests that we hope to have today, William Norman Grigg at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time or shortly thereafter today, as well as some other folks that are going to be with us later in the week, including Dr. Robert Sungenis, who's going to spend 3 hours with me on Friday talking about neocons and the Jewish connection. Dr. Sungenis, of course, represents something called Catholics Apologetics International. You can find that at catholicintl.com on the web, and that'll give you some preparation for what we're going to chat about on Friday. But back to this whole business of globalism and global empire. Chalmers Johnson, of course, before the break, I was talking about his interview on this show 10 days ago and the way in which he has penned a trilogy underlining the dangers of empire. The first one, as I mentioned before the break, is entitled Blowback. The second one is entitled The Sorrows of Empire. And the third is entitled Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. And in that regard, there is an excerpt of that last from that last book that is reprinted today by Alternet. And you can get to that at the World Wide Web at alternet.org. /stories/47998. That's alternet.org/stories/47998, and that will lead you to this new post today by Chalmers Johnson. It's an excerpt from his latest book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. But this article is entitled 737 U.S. military bases equals global empire. And with more than 2,500,000 U.S. personnel serving across the planet and military bases spread across each continent, it's time to face up to the fact that our American democracy has spawned a global empire. The following, then, is excerpted from Chalmers Johnson's new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic, at Metropolitan Books. Once upon a time, you could trace the spread of imperialism by counting up colonies. America's version of the colony is the military base, and by following the changing politics of global basing, one can learn much about our ever more all-encompassing imperial footprint and the militarism that grows with it. It is not easy, however, to assess the size or exact value of our empire of bases. Official records available to the public on these subjects are misleading, although instructive. According to the Defense Department's annual inventories from 2002 to 2005 of real property it owns around the world, the Base Structure Report, there has been an immense churning in the numbers of installations. The total of America's military bases in other people's countries in 2005, according to official sources, was 737. Reflecting massive deployments to Iraq and the pursuit of President Bush's strategy of preemptive war, the trend line for numbers of overseas bases continues to go up. Interestingly enough, the 38 large and medium-sized American facilities spread around the globe in 2005, mostly air and naval bases for our bombers and fleets, almost exactly equals Britain's 36 naval bases and army garrisons at its imperial zenith in 1898. The Roman Empire, we'll get into this after the break with Chalmers Johnson and his book Nemesis. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we come back, we will take a look at this excerpt from Chalmers Johnson's book as it appears today in Alternet. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Back. This is Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined at a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning Central Standard Time by William Norman Grigg. That will be a real treat for you and for me as Will is going to examine the American right and what the real American right is and what it isn't and what has gone wrong with the movement. As we have seen, of course, much of the so-called American right going the way of empire, going the way of debt to foreign central banks, going the way of supporting a destruction of the manufacturing sector of our economy, and full participation in all of the globalist institutions of the New World Order. That's not the American right that I knew, and it's certainly not the American right that William Norman Grigg knew or that he represents. So we're going to be chatting about some of that today at shortly after 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I'll be interested to see what Will thinks of possible remedies in regard to all of this. You know, it's this is something that I have really struggled with in the course of my life, is that as I got hopefully a little bit smarter, I was saying to somebody yesterday that 20 years ago, when I look at some of the Republican stiffs that I was continuing to support politically as an alternative to the Democratic Party, it's rather embarrassing to admit that I could have been a college graduate and ostensibly someone who was widely read and was traveling around the country and working on behalf of conservative causes, that I could have been as dumb as I proved to be in regard to how duped I was in seeing ultimate political salvation in terms of a series of cardboard saviors. All these years later, I look back on that, and sometimes I laugh, and sometimes I have to cry internally. But suffice it to say that at least as a slightly older person, I began to wise up to the fact that something was wrong. It seems to me now that those of us who have figured out at least some of the total tale of the tape in regard to what has happened need to search for solutions. And I think I'm real long on the whole business of knowing what's happened, not quite as articulate in regard to recommending specific courses of action that would enable us to solve some of these problems. That's something I want to talk to Will Grigg about today as well this morning in regard to what we do from here. Because when I look at the present state of affairs, both domestically and in terms of foreign policy, I really am out of ideas in regard to how we turn back the clock on what is clearly a real mess. And part of that mess gets back to what we were looking at before the last break in regard to Chalmers Johnson's excerpt and alternate from his new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Getting back to what Dr. Chalmers was saying here, he is quoted as saying that, interestingly enough, the 38 large and medium-sized American facilities spread around the globe in 2005, mostly air and naval bases for our bombers and fleets, almost exactly equals Britain's 36 naval bases and army garrisons at its imperial zenith in 1898. The Roman Empire, at its height in 117 AD, required 37 major bases to police its realm from Britannia to Egypt, from Hispania to Armenia. Perhaps the optimum number of major citadels and fortresses for an imperialist aspiring to dominate the world is somewhere between 35 and 40. Using data from fiscal year 2005, the Pentagon bureaucrats calculated that its overseas bases were worth at least $127 billion. Surely far too low a figure, but still larger than the gross domestic products of most countries, and an estimated $658.1 billion for all of them, foreign and domestic. A base's worth is based on a Department of Defense estimate of what it would cost to replace it. During fiscal 2005, the military high command deployed to our overseas bases some 196,975 uniformed personnel, as well as an equal number of dependents and DOD civilian officials, and employed an additional 81,425 locally hired foreigners. The worldwide total of U.S. military personnel in 2005, including those based domestically, was 1,840,062, supported by an additional 473,306 Defense Department civil service employees and 203,328 local hires. Its overseas bases, according to the Pentagon, contained 32,327 barracks, hangars, hospitals, and other buildings which it owns, and 16,527 more that it leased. The size of these holdings was recorded in the inventory as covering 687,347 acres overseas and 29,819,492 acres worldwide, making the Pentagon easily one of the world's largest landlords. These numbers, although staggeringly big, do not begin to cover all the actual bases we occupy globally. The 2005 base structure report fails, for instance, to mention any garrisons in Kosovo or Serbia, of which Kosovo is still officially a province, even though it is the site of the huge Camp Bondsteel built in 1999 and maintained ever since by the KBR Corporation, formerly known as Kellogg Brown & Root, a subsidiary of the Halliburton Corporation of Houston. The report similarly omits bases in Afghanistan, Iraq, where there are 106 garrisons as of May 2005, Israel, Kyrgyzstan, Qatar, and Uzbekistan, Even though the U.S. military has established colossal base structures in the Persian Gulf and Central Asian areas since 9/11. By way of excuse, a note in the preface says that, quote, facilities provided by other nations at foreign locations, unquote, are not included, although this is not strictly true. The report does include 20 sites in Turkey, all owned by the Turkish government and used jointly with the Americans. The Pentagon continues to omit from its accounts most of the $5 billion worth of military and espionage installations in Britain, which have long been conveniently disguised as Royal Air Force bases. If there were an honest count, the actual size of our military empire would probably top 1,000 different bases overseas. But no one, possibly not even the Pentagon, knows the exact number for sure. In some cases, foreign countries themselves have tried to keep their U.S. bases secret, fearing embarrassment if their collusion with American imperialism were revealed. In other instances, the Pentagon seems to want to play down the building of facilities aimed at dominating energy sources, or, in a related situation, retaining a network of bases that would keep Iraq under our hegemony, regardless of the wishes of any future Iraqi government. The U.S. government tries not to divulge any information about the bases we use to eavesdrop on global communications or our nuclear deployments, which, as William Arkin, an authority on the subject, writes, quote, have violated its treaty obligations. The U.S. was lying to many of its closest allies, even in NATO, about its nuclear designs. Tens of thousands of nuclear weapons, hundreds of bases, and dozens of ships and submarines existed in a special secret world of their own, with no rational military or even deterrence justification, unquote. In Jordan, to take but one example, we have secretly deployed up to 5,000 troops and bases on the Iraqi and Syrian borders. Jordan has also cooperated with the CIA in torturing prisoners we delivered to them for interrogation. Nonetheless, Jordan continues to stress that it has no special arrangements with the United States, no bases, and no American military presence. The country is formally sovereign, but actually a satellite of the U.S. and has been so for at least the past 10 years. Similarly, before our withdrawal from Saudi Arabia in 2003, we habitually denied that we maintained a fleet of enormous and easily observed B-52 bombers in Jeddah, because that was what the Saudi government demanded. So long as military bureaucrats can continue to enforce a culture of secrecy to protect themselves, no one will know the true size of our base world, least of all the elected representatives of the American people. In 2005, deployments at home and abroad were in a state of considerable flux. This was said to be caused both by a long overdue change in the strategy for maintaining our global dominance and by the closing of surplus bases at home. In reality, many of the changes seemed to be determined largely by the Bush administration's urge to punish nations and domestic states that had not supported its efforts in Iraq and to reward those that had. Thus, within the United States, bases were being relocated to the South, to states with cultures, as the Christian Science Monitor put it, quote, more tied to martial traditions, unquote, than the Northeast, the Northern Middle West, or the Pacific Coast. According to a North Carolina businessman gloating over his new customers, quote, the military is going where it is wanted and valued most, unquote. In part, the realignment revolved around the Pentagon's decision to bring home by 2007 or 2008 two Army divisions from Germany, the 1st Armored Division and the 1st Infantry Division, and one brigade of 3,500 men was officially rehoused at Fort Carson, Colorado. So long as the Iraq insurgency continues, the forces involved are mostly overseas and the facilities at home are not ready for them, nor is there enough money budgeted to get them ready. Nonetheless, sooner or later, up to 70,000 troops and 100,000 family members will soon have to be accommodated within the United States. The attendant 2005 base closings in the U.S. are actually a base consolidation and enlargement program with tremendous infusions of money and customers going to a few selected hub areas. At the same time, what sounds like a retrenchment in the empire abroad is really proving to be an exponential growth in new types of bases, without dependents and the amenities they would require, in very remote areas where the U.S. military has never been before. We'll keep looking at this Chalmers Johnson article in Alternet today, which is an excerpt from his new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Mark Dankos America will return live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. At 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, we'll be joined by William Grigg. Stay tuned.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. William Norman Grigg is going to join us at right around 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. We're going to be talking about the American right, among many things. What is the real American right? How do we distinguish it from its counterfeit counterpart? And what does the real American right do in terms of a concrete strategy to attempt to regain all of the ground that it's lost in this country in the last half century? Those are just some of the ideas of things that I want to chat with Will about this morning at a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. For we are truly dealing with the days that, as Chalmers Johnson has suggested in terms of the title of his new book, are the last days of the American Republic, he says. I argue that the American Republic is already dead, that we're dealing with the last days of the American Empire. If you get a chance, take a look at Chalmers Johnson's excerpt today from his new book. That's at Alternet. That's at alternet.org/stories, /47998. And this piece basically gets into the whole question of neoconservative foreign policy and the entire character of the United States military presence to the tune of 737 military bases worldwide, and what the economic and political costs are of this type of imperial outreach, which, of course, is something quite different from the foreign policy of Washington and Madison and Jefferson in regard to foreign entanglements and foreign wars and moving from a constitutional republic to the whole business of empire. And it seems to me to be abundantly clear that as we examine some of what Chalmers Johnson talked about on this show 10 days ago and what we read about in his books and look at in some of these other articles today on the web, there's an incompatibility between supporting this kind of foreign empire abroad and believing that one can maintain constitutional republic at home. Chalmers Johnson talked about this on the air 10 days ago on this show, speaking about Rome and Britain, where looking at those two examples, you either have to have support for an international empire abroad or a return to a so-called democracy at home. You can't have both. And certainly when we look at this whole business of a constitutional republic, which I'm more comfortable with talking about that than I am the notion of democracy, that a constitutional republic properly understood is incompatible with foreign empire, and that the support of the latter will result in the death of the former. One other thing I'll say about this Chalmers Johnson article this morning is that he mentions that in August of 2002, Secretary of Defense, now ex-Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, unveiled his 1-4-2-1 defense strategy to replace the Clinton era's plan for having a military capable of fighting two wars in the Middle East and Northeast Asia simultaneously. Now, war planners were to prepare, get a load of this, folks, now war planners were to prepare to defend the United States while building and assembling forces capable of, quote, deterring aggression and coercion, unquote, in four critical regions: Europe, Northeast Asia, meaning both South Korea and Japan, East Asia, the Taiwan Strait, and the Middle East. And they were to be able to defeat aggression in two of these regions simultaneously and, quote, unquote, win decisively in the sense of regime change and occupation in one of those conflicts at a time and place of our choosing, quote, unquote. As the military analyst William Arkin commented, quote, with American military forces already stretched to the limit, the new strategy goes far beyond preparing for reactive contingencies and reads more like a plan for picking fights in new parts of the world, unquote. Speaking of picking fights, we get back to this whole business of Iran, don't we? The latest Newsweek magazine, the last one I've picked up in my mailbox, has Ahmadinejad and Bush on the cover openly talking about the possibility, some would say even the probability, of a war between the United States and Iran. And, of course, I've been talking about this for the last 5 or 6 years based on what has happened since 9/11. Now we're seeing references made to the seemingly inevitable character of this in the mainstream corporate press. But speaking of our military force structure, it seems to me that there's one thing that's become abundantly clear just in the last 5 years alone, and that is that with all of the money that is spent on intelligence and national defense on the part of the U.S., and Chalmers Johnson mentioned on this show 10 days ago that 40% of that total budget is black, as he put it. Black meaning that we don't know how much money's involved, where it's going, what the purposes are for in regard to the appropriations of these funds. There's a tremendous amount of secrecy about this whole process that is designed to keep you and me from having a better assessment of what kind of foreign policy it is that we're supporting. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about asymmetrical warfare, how our force structure is not apparently designed to cope with this, and what that might mean in regard to a future conflict with Iran. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined by William Grigg at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories today. Mitt Romney now suddenly supporting Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's a A4 post in the Washington, put up today by the Washington Post, which shows the way in which the governor is altering his positions as he gets ready to make a presidential race in the Republican primaries. No doubt that that is connected to what the Washington Post told us on its front page a few days ago, and that is that Romney is trying to cut a deal with the religious right, as is John McCain, to garner their support before these primaries begin. Keep an eye on that one. We've been talking as well about a series of things going on in the Middle East, but I mentioned today in regard to President's Day, the Thomas DiLorenzo's post at lourockwell.com entitled Presidential Repression gets into the whole history, once again, of Abraham Lincoln and the way in which the Lincoln presidency according to DiLorenzo, is the lens through which we must see all of the presidential usurpations of power that have occurred in the time since the middle of the 19th century with Abraham Lincoln, and that the connection between empire abroad and repression at home is a connection and a foundation that really began in earnest with Lincoln in regard to running roughshod over the Constitution of the United States. If you don't believe that, Tom DiLorenzo's books, The Real Lincoln and Lincoln Unmasked, will go a long way toward underscoring what it is that he's trying to tell us today in this op-ed piece entitled Presidential Repression. We've also been speaking about this whole business of global empire, according to what Chalmers Johnson was talking about on this show 10 days ago, and which we, of course, read about in his new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. This 1-4-2-1 military strategy that he mentions in reference to August of 2002 and Don Rumsfeld is a most fascinating one, for it basically indicates that American defense planners see Europe and the Middle East and Northeast Asia and East Asia, or the Taiwan Straits, as places where we need to be prepared to project power and to utilize force when need be in regard to these global brush fires. What happens, of course, if those brush fires ignite simultaneously? That's something that remains to be seen, but it seems to me that with all the trouble that we're having in Iraq, related to the fact that we're clearly in the middle of a civil war there, and the present force structure that we have, which once the surge is complete will weigh in at give or take 150,000 troops, is a structure that is not having any degree of success at all, as near as we can tell, in regard to quelling what seems to be a dangerous destabilization in that country. If one adds to that mix the $100 billion additional funding for Iraq that Bush wants this year, according to the Wall Street Journal, and $145 billion that he wants just for this conflict alone next year, again according to the Wall Street Journal, factor in a war with Iran, folks, and figure out just what that's going to cost in terms of money and human life, and you begin to see the magnitude of the difficulty in maintaining this so-called 1-4-2-1 strategy of Don Rumsfeld that was articulated, according to Chalmers Johnson, in August of 2002. Boy, if we get into this thing with Iran to where we're fighting what would prove to be, I think, ultimately a regional war throughout all of Central Asia and the Middle East, and then add to that the other commitments that we have in Europe and East Asia and Northeast Asia, this would be something beyond the imagination in regard to the fact that we would discover, I would suspect very quickly, we don't have enough bodies and enough money to support that kind of situation worldwide, and that will put us in the same position as a series of other empires in the history of the world that all discovered sooner or later that their imperial designs had to come to an end. So we'll watch all of that very closely in the days ahead, but again, suffice it to say that in talking about asymmetrical warfare, that's something that our American military force structure has not dealt with very well. In asymmetrical warfare, of course, you have people who do things to us that do not involve conventional military methodologies, but which prove to be devastatingly effective, hence the kinds of activities going on in Iraq with these so-called improvised explosive devices, read roadside bombs, of course, and other methodologies utilizing terrorist organizations that may or may not have specific provable links to nation states, and who do things that attack us with malice and with ideas of retaliation in mind, but don't utilize conventional military forces and methods. When you start talking about water supply and economic infrastructure and communications, and attacking people in shopping malls and sporting stadiums and so forth, this is arguably an entirely new realm that we're entering into, where the type of force structure that we have funded historically, dealing with conventional armies and navies and air forces, has not been particularly effective in dealing with an enemy with this mindset and with the kind of skill that the enemy possesses in these sorts of methodologies. One example of this as an ominous report comes to us today from Iran Focus. This is a byline from Tehran, posted today, February 19th, President's Day. And it indicates that Iran's elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has launched a large-scale war game on Monday. That's today. This is according to Iranian state television. The report said that the military maneuvers by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps' ground forces are being held in 16 of the country's 30 provinces. Some 60,000 Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps forces will take part in the drills, codenamed Ektidar, or Strength, it added. Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi, the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps ground forces, told reporters that the war games were the largest since March of 2006. Quote, "All of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps ground forces weapons, including artillery, armored vehicles, an assortment of firearms and anti-armor weapons, as well as new weapons possessed by the force, will be used in the three-day-long war games." The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps was founded in the early days of the Islamic Revolution in 1979 as an armed force loyal to Iran's clerical rulers. Its commanders directly report to Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, and their mission is to, quote, "protect and propagate the Islamic Revolution," unquote. Since Mahmoud Ahmadinejad became president in August of 2005, hundreds of senior officers of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps have been appointed to government ministries and state institutions to, quote, "prop up," unquote, the country's civil administration as the Islamic Republic continues to defy the international community over its suspected nuclear weapons program. This is Iran Focus today, talking about the Iran Revolutionary Guards launching military maneuvers, large-scale war games in 16 of the 30 provinces of Iran. I think that that's certainly suggestive of something, and it is that as the American naval presence continues to build in the Persian Gulf region, apparently with the deployment of three major aircraft carrier task force groups up to now, the Iranians are clearly putting their ducks in a row in regard to the potential for whatever kind of retaliation they may or may not be capable of. But suffice it to say that when you look at the performance of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in the war between Iran and Iraq between 1980 and 1988, certainly the Iranians showed in that situation that they were prepared to suffer massive casualties in exchange for inflicting massive blows upon the enemy utilizing unconventional means. This gets to the heart of my argument about asymmetrical warfare, that Iran is clearly preparing to defend itself from an anticipated American attack. Iran is at the same time, one would imagine, involving itself in what its president Ali Khamenei, or its supreme leader, I should say, Ali Khamenei, has said will be acts of retaliation against American assets worldwide in the event that war actually breaks out. I suspect that we should take these people seriously in regard to these threats based upon their record, and that we may quickly find ourselves in a circumstance where the expansion of this conflict in Iraq to Iran, a country of 70 million people where over half of the population is under 30, we may discover with the kinds of conventional and non-conventional capabilities that are known to be possessed by the Iranians, that this will be something beyond belief in terms of what it will mean for this country, the United States, in a devastating involvement in Central Asia in a war that would seemingly be without end, and where we would begin to see all kinds of unconventional means of retaliation aimed at us, both in that regional theater as well as elsewhere. This gets back to something Paul Craig Roberts was talking about some days ago on the World Wide Web, speaking about the jettisoning of American debt instruments as a means of retaliation against the United States for any expansion of this present conflict into Iran. He was pointing out the extent to which our Asian banks in China and Japan have been the chief sources of money for the American military adventure in Iraq in these last 4 years. And there is a suspicion that perhaps these Asian bankers, central bankers among others, might choose to jettison American debt instruments in an act of retaliation for an American preemptive strike against Iran that is not politically supported by significant segments of the so-called international community. That's going to be well worth watching, for it seems to me that in regard to any perceived action on the part of the American Congress related to this war and to the talk of a preemptive war with Iran, that talk coming from the American Congress is largely toothless. Chalmers Johnson mentioned this 10 days ago on this show, that unless we're talking about specific movements in the Congress to defund the war, and unless we're looking at resolutions of impeachment being introduced by the House Judiciary Committee to the full floor of the U.S. House for the consideration of that body, there's nothing else that would seem to be capable of putting a dent in the war plans such as they seem to exist on the part of the administration. So when you're watching these various folks up on Capitol Hill positioning themselves as being opposed to the war or opposed to the troop surge or opposed to a potential American military strike on Iran, the whole question of posturing oneself in this regard is largely irrelevant, it seems to me, if that is not tied specifically to a move to defund these efforts and an examination of this whole issue of articles of impeachment. Short of that, the administration knows that it can proceed. And I would suggest that yesterday's procedural vote, symbolic vote in the U.S. Senate, that came 6 votes short of the needed number of votes to basically be a solidified statement of expression on the part of the U.S. Senate in regard to the non-binding resolution passed by the House, that the failure to secure a veto-proof majority for that non-binding resolution on the part of the Senate suggests that the Bush administration recognizes that ultimately Capitol Hill, up to this particular point, is a paper tiger. Is it going to suddenly develop teeth? We'll have to watch this thing in the days ahead. But at least thus far, one would suspect that the administration is going to move full steam ahead with whatever it has planned for the Persian Gulf region in these coming months. And again, given the kinds of statements coming out of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and John Edwards, I suspect that the statements that these folks have made in regard to Israel and in regard to America's Middle Eastern policy, that Mr. Bush and the international community might well interpret those statements as meaning that the Democratic Party is certainly not the beacon of opposition to this conflict that some of its supporters suggest that it is. So let's keep an eye on that story. Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps maneuvers are going to occur today in Iran in 16 of the 30 provinces of that country. A couple of other posts that I at least want to make reference to. William Grigg is going to be on shortly after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, so we might discuss these posts in more detail tomorrow briefly. But the New York Times has a piece today entitled, Al-Qaeda Chiefs Are Seen to Regain Power. That's an interesting article. Take a look at it if you get a chance. Adam Schatz, who writes for The Nation, has an interesting op-ed piece in the L.A. Times today entitled, Why Iran Meddles in Iraq? Well worth your time. Scott Horton has, I think, a piece that's well worth your time at antiwar.com entitled, Bush Continues to Serve Osama. Lawrence Vance has an article at lewrockwell.com entitled, Update on the Empire. Iran Press Service has a story that I think would be well worth taking a longer look at, possibly tomorrow, and that's something that comes up as of yesterday on Iran Press Service. Dan Plesh has a story entitled "Iran Ready to Attack," and this is a story that Iran Press Service has isolated from the New Statesman publication in London. Quoting Dan Plesh, American military operations for a major conventional war with Iran could be implemented any day. They extend far beyond targeting suspect WMD facilities and will enable President Bush to destroy Iran's military, political, and economic infrastructure overnight using conventional weapons. There's a photograph that accompanies this post, which shows a series of aircraft carriers and support vessels, and it says that the whole of Iran is now within less than an hour of these American strike forces. I won't read the rest of this piece now, but it is very noteworthy that it does make reference to the same aircraft carrier task force groups that the Debka file reported some days ago were out there in the Persian Gulf area. And there are some specific items in regard to weapons systems that have been deployed in this whole thing, and some of the specific people that are thought to be involved in the planning and execution of this military operation that come forth in that piece today by Dan Plesh. And maybe tomorrow we'll take a deeper look at this and what it might mean. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined a little bit after 9 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, by William Norman Grigg. If you're not familiar with him, you need to be. He, for a long time, was a major contributor to the John Birch Society's The New American publication. William Norman Grigg, in my estimation, is one of the guys that has always had a lot to say about the real right and the issues that distinguish us from the phony right, which is to say the folks that currently run the Republican Party and the Bush administration. And when Will comes on in about 5 to 7, 8 minutes from now, I hope to have a really good conversation with him, not only about the differences between the real right and the phony right, but where the real right goes from here. For it seems to me that we are truly living in the last days of either the American Republic or the American Empire, take your pick, and that in regard to the expansion of this war into a full-fledged World War III, the massive amount of public and private debt, the moral and spiritual declension that we've talked about on this show before, it all seems to point in this direction. What do people do who are not a part of this, are not supportive of it, and want to lead normal, decent, independent lives, they and their families? That's something I want to chat with Will about as well this morning. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org on the World Wide Web, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Or at 1-800-724-2719. You can have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That's available directly from the Republic Broadcasting Network for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Again, you can have that for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling at either republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. And during the last hour of my show, when I'll be talking with William Norman Grigg, you can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And again, looking at news stories today, the usual things seem to be going on in the Middle East in regard to acts of counterinsurgency in Baghdad, Iranian military preparations, as is evidenced by this report coming out of Iran Focus and out of Tehran, that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is having a training exercise today that covers 16 of the 30 provinces of that country. There are additional indications that there are other things wrong in regard to our economy. Over the weekend, I tried to get caught up in my examination of conventional media, which, among other things, includes the London Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal. I had a series of issues of those that had stacked up, and I decided to go through them and then to give them away. But as I was going through them in recent days, it's quite clear that something is going on with the American mortgage market, and the fact that there has been apparently a 42% increase in home foreclosures in 2006. This is making some financial institutions nervous, who are overexposed in terms of the home mortgage loan industry. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with William Norman Grigg after the break. Stay tuned.